Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I mean, given just the dire nature of a genocide, is the NFL an appropriate space for that? To me, it's the question is more, what isn't an appropriate space?
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Delighted to be joined by Stacey Flood after World Cup quarterfinal narrow defeat against France. Stacey, how are you? You well?
I am, alright. How are you?
Alright. As a fair assessment, I imagine, of the mood so far. Just before we get into that, I hope you don't mind starting on Lynn Cantwell, who's just been he's going to be inducted into the World Rugby Hall of Fame. It's a hell of an achievement for Lynn.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think any Irish women's rugby player getting put into the Hall of Fame is a great achievement, so that's unreal for her.
How have you been the last few days? How's it settling?
Yeah, we've been out a few times, but I think I think they won't settle for a good while, but it's probably a game that will sting a bit more than if you were to get hammered, I'd say.
It's an interesting point, actually, because we were even chatting about that with ourselves on Monday. It was like, what is the worst way to lose a quarterfinal? Is it to be well beaten or to lose it in that manner? And I guess ultimately, medium to long term, it's much better the way you went about it, because it proves how close you are.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think everything we put into that game, our game plan, everything was right that we did. And obviously, you can work hard and you can do everything, but if the bouncing ball doesn't go your way on the day or a whistle, then it's not for you.
It was a hell of a performance from the start, Stacey, because there was that try after 3 minutes which is disallowed, but you come back for a penalty, and from the resulting phase you do get over legitimately for the first time. Then of course there's your try towards the end of the half as well, and things are looking really good at that point. Are you looking back at that 35 phase play, the last play of the first half, with regret now, or are you accepting of that's the way it was and there was still the second half to play? Those fine margins, I imagine, become more defined as the day goes by.
Yeah, like, I think after 35 phases with the ball in that type of weather, it's a credit to the team for holding on to the ball for so long. But equally, France's defence on their line was so good to keep us out, so you kind of have to credit that as well. So I don't think you can regret anything. Obviously, we would have loved to come away with points, especially being in the 22 for so long. Yeah. But you just have to take it how it is, and that's how the game went. So there's nothing you can really do about it.
What was said at halftime?
God, what was said at halftime? I think it was just, it's going to be a different second half considering the weather. So just making sure that we have our backfield set up well, and having a plan to exit our half or hold on to the ball around those 10 metre lines.
Did you kind of consciously change the way you were playing in the second half from the first half? Because I imagine if you did, the temptation was to continue what you were doing in the first half. I appreciate the weather was a huge factor there.
Yeah, like, the weather was going straight down the pitch one way and it was raining. So that's how we got so much territory in the first half. So we knew that it was going to be opposite in the second half. Like, they'd try to maybe kick at us more with that advantage. But I think we handled it really well. We dropped an extra person to the backfield in some scenarios to help out with that. So there wasn't as many kicking opportunities for them. But you would look at it a little bit different just to kind of critique the game. We found a lot of grass in the first half with kicks, so that was a big win for us. So they didn't find as much in the second half.
When you're going out subsequently the last couple of the nights, I presume it's together as a squad, first of all, is it?
Yeah.
And what are the conversations like there? Do you analyse the game? Do you talk about what happened in the second half? Do you talk about the biting that wasn't caught on the day? Do you talk about when France took the lead in the 67th minute? Or does conversation kind of go away from the game and you kind of almost celebrate what you did together to that point? How does that work?
I think there's always a bit of both. Like, I do think we're very good at not... we can't change anything now, so there's no point of us going on and on and on about it. And we may have had the same conversation 5 or 6 times with different people about things that went on in the game. But I think it's just about enjoying what we've done for women's rugby in Ireland. And I think everyone really got behind the team at the World Cup. And like, we really felt that, and we felt like we were maybe making a bigger impact than we've ever made before in terms of going, having eyes on us. Like, the crowds over there were amazing. Like, the travelling support was amazing. So I feel like we can celebrate that, and we can celebrate like what we have done. Yeah, it's shit. Like, we got knocked out in a quarter final. That's not where we wanted to be. It was very marginal. Like, it could have went either way for 85 minutes of a game. So I think we talk about that, and obviously people have frustrations, and like, if you could go back in time, you would, and you do something maybe a little bit different. But that, you could say that about a lot of things in life. And I think the journey we've been on as a squad in the last few years is immense, so we just have to take the highs with the lows, and hopefully we push on now and we can just do more things with the squad.
Take me back a little bit too, because I had this discussion with Quinny the week before. You lose 40-0. How do you go from what was that week like in terms of, there's obviously an inner belief in your squad or whatever, but, and you knew France well enough, but you have to be sore after losing 40-0. And how did you go from that to, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, I was sort of, I'm a passive rugby fan, and I'm going, hearing on the right, aren't they winning? I went then and turned on the telly and watched it, because I'd just seen a team beating 40-0, and it probably, me personally, switched off a little bit. But you, something switched with you. It'd be fascinating to see what switch would you start, took to the game so well.
Yeah, I think like, if you even watch the New Zealand game, like, I feel like the score didn't fully reflect the game, and they got two tries in the last 10 minutes, which makes it goes from like 26-0 to 40-0, which is just such a big jump. And we had so many scoring opportunities in that game. Obviously you're always going to be sore not even getting a point on the board and losing to a team. And we knew it would be a tough game going into that week. But I think it's nearly the Irishism in us that we're like, do you know what? Like, people think we're down and out, but yeah, like, we're just going to stand up and fight. Like, we're just going to throw the kitchen sink at this game. And like, we knew what we had to do. We're familiar with France. We had a great game plan that we all invested in going into it. And I think that just the belief within the squad was really there. And we knew that like, rugby's rugby. Like, you have 15 girls on the field against 15 girls, so how much better can they be? Like, yes, a lot of things have to happen to score, for not to score. So I think it's just the belief within the squad that we're in a World Cup quarterfinal, where we deserved to be, and we're up there competing with the top four teams in the world. So yeah, we can lose 40-0 in 1 week, but I think it just shows the character of the team to be able to turn it around and know that that's not good enough for us, from us, and like, know we were better than that performance.
Yeah, no, sorry for dwelling on that defeat, but the question is also, like, was the review harsh, or was it like, being it and just go, we're in a quarterfinal, like you said, and it's the positivity, or did you actually take learnings from the New Zealand game?
Oh no, I think you'd have to take learnings. We took so many learnings from that game. Like I always say, you learn more from a game you lose than a game you win. And I think taking those was really important for the squad. And yeah, we had exploited our defensive system so much that we were like, right, we have to do X, Y, and Z now. And like, we fixed a lot of those things at halftime. Well, I was rewatching the game, but the girls fixed a lot of those things at halftime. And made differences in the second half, so that's improvement within the game already. So reviews are harsh, but like, I think we're our own worst critics, and like, if you're looking at yourself and you're happy with that game, well, you wouldn't be on the team.
Would you watch back again?
Oh yeah. I've some of the games watched already 5 times.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like when you watch it for the first time, you're probably only watching yourself. And then when you're watching it for the second time, it's a bit of both. And then when you're watching it for the third time, you like see more and unravel every time you watch it. Yeah.
Well, for this team to improve, you imagine, yes, to be proud of what you've done and you got to a quarterfinal of a World Cup, but the hurt of what happened in France, if you come away from that going, oh, aren't we great? We've done well. If that hurt isn't there, if you don't put your head in the pillow and remember, should I have done this, could I have done this, you won't get beyond the quarterfinal next time it comes. So that's the insight you're seeing here from Stacey, that people who don't play elite sport don't see. It's actually, it's the what goes wrong hurts you more than what goes right in over time.
No, I totally get that. I'm just surprised to hear how many times you watched it back.
In
between the drink and the nights out, of course.
Oh yeah, I know, but we had like bus journeys, planes. Like it's been like, what, 3 days now? So plenty of time to watch.
Yeah, one a day on average you're hitting at the moment. So is this, you're going on YouTube yourself. This is unofficially you're watching it back. This is not part of a team meeting or instruction.
Oh no, we have an app called Huddle that has all of our games and trainings and put up onto it, coded and stuff like that. But no, we do team reviews every week and we do like units and stuff like that as well. But I feel like if you're in an environment like that, you need to be watching the game back and you need to be watching yourself and what the team is doing. But like that's just the normal with everyone on the team, really.
What did you pick up the third time watching it?
A lot on the referees, Mike, but just was in the background chatting. And then like how we could have exploited opportunities a bit more that we had when we were in their 22 as backs. Just because like the forwards are doing so much work for us, like how can we help them out by getting us on the front foot once or twice, yeah.
Did you get nervous at any point in the second half?
I was nervous going into the second half. Well, I was nervous for the whole game, but like as soon as the whistle goes, you just kind of settle. Mm. And I think when you, like, we were kicking off in the second half, so I knew that we would kick to them and then they'd kick back to us on the right side. So I'd be standing there waiting for the ball. So I knew that's how it was going to go. And I was like, once I get my first touch on the ball, I'll settle into it. But yeah, I think it is nervous, especially with the wind in the backfield. Like you're always going to have more touches or involvement when there's a big wind. So I think just knowing your role, like knowing what you have to do the first time you get the ball, like what your first job is, really important.
Yes. Yeah. Because right up until the ball went dead at the end,
yeah,
it was, you know, you could have got back into it. But did you feel it slipping away at the same time? Like, you know, France took the lead with 30 minutes to go for the first time in the match. But did you feel it slipping away, if you're being honest?
No, I really didn't. Like there was a point in the game where there was going to be a line out. Our mauls were going really well. Our line outs were going really well. I could feel it. I was like, oh, we're going to win this. Like, I was just like, me and Amy Lee looked at each other and we're like, if the mall, like, should we join? Like, we should we do a South Africa on it? we're like, maybe we should stay out. but I think, like, it's like a game is, there's so many moments in a game, and I feel like you can win all the little moments and you might win the game, but there's maybe that one moment that you didn't win that it's a bit of a turn on momentum. But I actually didn't feel that in that game, and I feel like up until the 85th minute I was like, we could still win this game. Like fully believed that we were still going to win.
Vinny touched on it there, but it seemed to me, and it's very much looking from the outside in, that you had a remarkably positive reaction to the 40-0 defeat to New Zealand. When you could have easily become very self-reflective about where Ireland were in relation to the big teams. And I imagine that had, well, first of all, is that true? And secondly, if it is, I imagine, because you were started so confidently against France. It didn't really make any sense, Stacey, how confident you were against France, considering the result against New Zealand, which albeit was added to at the end of the game because it was 26-0 with only a few minutes left.
And the blame game starts, doesn't it, Stacey, at certain times where people are looking for someone else to blame for the result. That obviously didn't happen in your group.
Oh no, we wouldn't be like that at all. We wouldn't be blaming anyone. I don't think we had a hugely positive reaction after the New Zealand game. Like I think we looked at ourselves and we evaluated ourselves and knew it wasn't good enough. And I think I feel like in high performance sport, if you're going into a game thinking about what happened last week, no matter if you won or lost, it's a mistake. Like I feel like you have to move on really, really quickly. And I think if you're not thinking of your next job or like what's next, and you're moving forward and you're like, if you're looking back, you're doing something wrong. Like, if we've evaluated that game, looked at it, know what we have to fix, we can park it and move on from it. I think if you're going into a quarter final being like, oh, we're not going to do well here, we're after losing last week 40-0, like, and you're going in with that sort of attitude, like, you're never going to come away with what you want, or the results you want. I think, especially in high performance sports, you need to be fixing it early, parking it early, and moving on and seeing what you can do next.
Yeah, well, like, that's such a rational, understandable explanation, but at the same time, I was thinking with the human side of it, must be very tempting to wallow. So it's equally more impressive that you have to park it and move on, which is difficult to do.
Yeah, I wanted to forget about it as soon as it was over. I don't really want to dwell on that.
You spoke about visualization. You have to be clear in your mind come match day that when you kick the ball, the France is going to kick it back to you on the right channel. So you need to be clear with that. So you do need that clarity. And that's what was my fear the week on. She's just being beaten. Yes, it was a tight game. And to be fair, Quinny was there going, no, there was a lot of positives in that New Zealand game. A lot of easy fixes, not easy fixes, but fixable stuff. And it seemed to have happened.
For sure. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Axel Bartomeu's 12-game ban?
Look, I think, like, rugby is such a sportsmanship game, and, like, the values of rugby are what they are, and I think that if something like that happens on or off the field, like, it's not really acceptable, but, like, that's what match officials are for, and it's been dealt with off the field. Yeah, so hopefully she just learns from it and it doesn't happen again, or it doesn't happen to anyone else again, because that's not what you want to see in the sport. You want to grow the sport in a positive way. And I just think that she obviously just went and lost the head for a minute. Like, it's not acceptable, but it is being dealt with by the officials.
And maybe not a nice question. How much of an impact do you think that being spotted live at the moment makes?
Yeah, I think there was just a bit of confusion on the field because obviously Aoife had said it, and she said to the referee and the referee was said that they'd look at it, and then when it comes up on the big screen and we can all see it, we're a bit like, oh, we didn't really want something like that to happen to our teammate or like someone on our team. So, because that's not how we would ever act. So I think it's just about, like, we did move on from it pretty quickly. Because, like, they weren't doing much about it at the time. They said they were looking at it. So, we just kind of have to leave that into the hands of the officials, because it's not really our place to be shouting ball, and, like, you're not even allowed to talk to the referee. It's supposed to be through the captain. So Sam did say it to her, but I just don't think it was a part of our game kind of thing. Like, we just had to move on and kind of see what the way the game was going then now. Yeah.
What was Aoife Wafer's reaction to the news of the ban?
I think she was just, she wasn't surprised the girl got banned anyway. Yeah. I haven't really spoke to her since about it, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she was like, I'm not surprised that she got banned for as long as she did.
First time you watched it back, you were looking at yourself, you were saying. How do you rate your own display? First of all, overall in the tournament, and then specifically the France game.
I have my own KPIs, what I measure myself off. So I have, like, targets that are for every game the same. So to see where my performance is at in terms of, am I hitting what I need to do? I don't know. I'd have to watch it another few times to be rating myself now. There was goods and bads, highs and lows. Like, I did some good things, some bad things, but kind of a mixed baggery.
Because you were going into the game, I don't know if you were injured, but you were carrying the injury with the stitches that you got from the New Zealand game. So did that have an impact in the France game?
No, I feel like adrenaline takes you away from that sort of thing, thankfully. But I had a shin guard on me as well, that we made during the week just to protect the stitches a bit more. I'm getting them out today, thankfully.
Ah, very good.
But I feel like I wasn't carrying anything going into the game. I feel like you just have to kind of get on with that.
So how is it now? How is the injury overall?
It's good. The stitches are at the stage now where they're kind of itching me, so I can't wait to get them out.
You spoke so positively afterwards, as well as a quote from you here. We didn't get the performance we wanted or the result we wanted today, but we've inspired so many young girls to take up rugby. and pick up a rugby ball, and that's exactly what our team wants to do. So that means in 4 years' time, there'll be more people competing for a green jersey. We're definitely going to close the gap even more. Does that feel even more pronounced in the days after?
Yeah, it really does. Like I was walking to the shop yesterday, and there's three people came up to me and was like, wouldn't usually watch rugby, and they were saying how well and like how proud they were of us. And I'd never really got that before. And I feel like, even like you saying that you would never be like a full on rugby watcher, and like to say that you turned on the TV, like that's one person, like out of how many people. And like, I just feel like the country really got behind it. And like, there was so many young girls at the games, like traveling over to watch. And it was just so, it was so nice to have Irish support there, but it was so nice to know that everything we've experienced and we get to do for a living, like we're professional athletes. And now people see that you can go and play on a world stage and represent your country and do a full time. And I think young girls can actually see that as a pathway now and want to do that for a living, which is, it's amazing, because when I was growing up, that wasn't a thing. Mm. And now it is. And it's like, it's never going to go anywhere.
That's the challenge, isn't it? Because you look at what the soccer team done, and the young girls now that have been inspired by so many, the soccer team and what they've built on. You just can't go away now. You need to be front and centre and inspire the next young rugby players and learn from the soccer team, for want of a better word, because, you know, I was driving through Tala last night, local club, coming from work on St. Mark's, and I've probably seen 60, 70 girls on a pitch that I've never seen before, on a soccer pitch. Mm-hmm. But that has to replicate in rugby as well. So the RFU, yourselves, have a bit of responsibility now to go and push the women's rugby agenda on people and really grow from this and make sure that this now becomes the regular and maybe 8, 12, 16 years' time.
100%. And like, we've our first fixture in the Aviva now, against Scotland in the Six Nations next year. So what's stopping people from coming watching us live or coming, putting like people on seats? Because that's going to be so big after a World Cup. How many people can we actually get? Can we break an Irish record for a women's rugby game? Which we should, because like, everyone's behind us, so why not? Like, you don't support your team just because they're at a World Cup. Like, we're Irish, we support each other through the highs and lows of sport, and like, that's what we have in us, so we should just keep going with it. And like, I feel like people like our team. We are so likable. We have all the values. We work hard. Like, we've so
such
many
a cocky thing to say, but it's so true.
No, we are.
It's like, so true. I know.
Like, what a quote. Like, that is. We are so likable. It's actually unbelievable.
We are, like, we've so many different personalities. We are hard workers. Like, I love being a part of this team. And I think, I just feel like it's like, I don't know. I feel like we can just, people can get behind us. You see us on, like, you see the girls on TikTok, you see the girls doing this, that, and the other. Like, we're so open to engaging with people who want to engage with us. And I feel like people who are getting behind our team, we'll spend the time to go and like chat to them. And I feel like we are a likable team.
You've said it twice now, you can't take it back. Three times.
Does that make us less likable?
Yeah, we'll clip that, don't worry, that'll go everywhere. So 2026 next year, Six Nations last game against Scotland, the first women's standalone game at the Aviva Stadium. It's going to be unbelievable. It's a ridiculous evolution since only 2.5 years ago, which was a disastrous Six Nations, to where we are now and the way we talk about it. It is amazing. But maybe more importantly, Stacey, let's talk about the culture on the bus and where you sit, because you've written about this, right? So this is a team bus setting, which, Finny, you'll be very aware of this. So at the front are the coaches and the staff, the serious adults in the room. In the middle is if you want to have a chat and you don't want to be influenced unduly by the carry-on at the back. But the back of the bus is where the likes of Nia Vodoud and the rest go mental.
Yeah, I think if you start at the back of the bus, it's really loud, and then it slowly gets quieter as it goes up. But I think that's like, I feel like if people aren't involved in the team, I wrote about that because I feel like if people aren't involved in teams, like the bus is such a big place for a team. Like, you spend so much time on the bus. And I was like, people would never know the going ons. Like if people, like Eve Higgins, sometimes you have to ask her to stop singing, but she invites herself to sing at the front of the bus as she's emceeing. Like, she'll sing in the interims. But she, like, gets everyone up who was, like, had their first caps and stuff like that for singing. It's quite entertaining. Yeah, it's funny.
Are you back
row? Like, people wouldn't know that.
Do you sit in the back row? You haven't qualified for that yet.
I just don't think I could deal with it because I get just like too like.
The buses are just brilliant in team environment, aren't they? There should be two back rows or nearly three. You just have to redesign buses for teams. Yeah. But what
I said, just have to stare at the stairs. Just after the stairs,
that's so safe.
Bit of the back of the bus etiquette, and I can hear the music. But then, if I want to zone out, I can just put my headphones in, and I won't hear them.
So, if you walk in the back of the bus, there'll be a big scene made because they'll be like, Stacey's coming back.
Why is she doing that? Why are they doing that? Everyone's kind of like in their seats, like everyone goes to the same place, like we're the same area of the bus. It's really funny.
Kamir, how are you going to balance the 15s and the 7s? Because of course you represented Ireland at the Olympics last year, so you've had a hell of a last year, like at the Olympics then, the World Cup now, Six Nations coming up. Will there still be a world where you'll do both?
Any chance, like, I get to wear an Irish jersey, I will throw myself at it, if it's an opportunity. Obviously, like, the sevens is a little bit different now, considering we're not on the World Series anymore.
Yeah.
Because obviously World Rugby have pulled back the numbers on the series, which it's really sad to see, especially with all the amazing memories I've had and time travelled on the series. It's been amazing. But for the minute, I'm actually going traveling for a little while, and then I'll be back, hopefully playing in the Six Nations next year as well. Yeah.
You had no choice but to get involved in the sport, did you, with the Flood family? Are you one of six? Was it Gaelic football and soccer was also very prevalent in your life?
Yeah. My dad loved soccer, and then my older sisters all played GAA, so I just did what they did. Yeah. Pretty much, it's crazy, but yeah, it's a very competitive household. Someone was asking me after the game, they said that all my family were on the plane on the way over, and I was like, you'd probably hear us before you see us, so many of us. But no, they were great. My whole family came over for one of the games, and some of my nieces and nephews, I have seven now, I think there's seven grandchildren in my family now. So it was great to see them, and they all had a jersey on with the number 15 and Flood written on the back of it. Fast. So you could spot them a mile away as well. But no, they were great. They came over every weekend. They couldn't have supported me any better. They're just golden. They're so likable.
They're such a likable family. It's just so weird.
So likable.
Just keep saying likable. It's this so one, nice. Don't you?
Yeah, no, we'll do a super cut of that. Thanks for all that. Stacey Flood, genuinely, thanks a mil for the memories over the last few weeks. And best of luck travelling, and best of luck in the new year with the Six Nations and the rest of it too.
Thank you, and thanks for supporting us, and hopefully you keep supporting us and keep saying good things about us.
Good stuff. The likeable Stacey Flood, as always. Have a good one.
Thank you.
9:33 on this Wednesday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast with Vinnie Perth and myself. We're nearly done. We've one last segment to go just before.
Isn't like that a breath of fresh air? Somebody plays for Ireland. Somebody could easily be, I don't mean up themselves, but be guarded. It's just such natural.
It was natural, like you said.
And the best part, from a sport and a high performance part, is they're proud of what they've done.
Yeah.
But they're sore as well because they missed an opportunity.
Well, yeah.
So they learn from that. It's brilliant.
Because you can get very easily kind of patronized. Oh, like, wasn't that a great achievement to get to the quarter?
They
don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Anyone at all, but to watch it back so many times as well.
I always say to you, obsession. If you're going to be high performer, you have to be obsessed. And obviously, they are about getting better. So it's great to see.